Hi, I'm Julianne Bishelia with Bloomberg Law. Today we're going to be talking about preparing students to practice. I'm excited to be joined by Professor Dan Bussell, who has been teaching courses on bankruptcy, contracts, and professional responsibility at UCLA for more than two decades. He's also a partner at KTBS Law, a boutique firm focusing on business reorganization and corporate insolvency. Professor Bussell, thanks so much for being here. As both an educator and practitioner, you have a unique perspective on the journey from student to attorney. And of course, you once made that jump yourself. Can you tell me a little bit from your personal experience as a new attorney, what that was like? Did you feel prepared to practice when you graduated law school?
No, of course not. I think lawyering is a craft. I mean, there's an academic intellectual component to lawyering, and I was prepared for that. I knew how to do legal research. I knew how to write. I could write briefs. But in terms of the craft of lawyering, that really is learned, I think, on an apprenticeship model rather than in a traditional academic setting. And so I learned how to be a lawyer at O'Melveny & Myers, where, you know, Bob White was my mentor, and Ben Logan and many other of the, you know, very fine bankruptcy lawyers and other lawyers at the firm. That's where I learned how to be a lawyer.
So it sounds to me that you think there's kind of a gap between legal academia and law practice, right, in terms of what law students are learning. Can you talk a little bit about that gap?
Well, as I say, I mean, there's an intellectual or academic component to learning law, learning how to be a lawyer. But there's also a craft element where you learn, you know, how to interact with clients, how to interact with courts, how to document transactions, how to interact with your colleagues, work, how to interact with opposing counsel, all of those skills that are part and parcel of what lawyers do every day. And that's not really taught in law school. Those skills are learned in practice. And as I say, I think that that aspect of lawyering still operates principally on a kind of apprenticeship model.
So in light of that, I want to talk a little bit about the ABA's shift to practical skills training. Have you in any way changed your curriculum over the years?
Sure. I mean, you know, you evolve as a teacher. I was one of the very early people who started to adopt simulation style, experiential techniques in the classroom. I developed a Chapter 11 seminar back in the 1990s, long before the ABA ever thought about any of this stuff. And I put students in roles and gave them complex hypothetical problems, and they would negotiate with one another. They would reflect on those experiences. We would have class discussions. There was an academic component also where I had them do theoretical readings, and then they would move forward and draft documents. They were responsible for drafting a plan of reorganization, and then they had to get it confirmed. And usually it would have to be a cram down plan because it was very hard to get everybody lined up. I gave them a problem that was very difficult to solve. And so they would have to generally, there wasn't enough value in the case to satisfy all the constituents. So they had to litigate the plan, and we'd have a court hearing where they try and confirm the plan. So I've been doing that for more than 20 years. You know, all of that has evolved over time. And of course, I mean, contracts less so. Contracts is taught today not very differently from the contracts class that I had when I was a law student at Stanford in 1982. So I think that the first year curriculum, you know, I think works pretty well, and I don't think that has changed so much. I think the upper level courses have changed a lot more, and the introduction of experiential education on the business side of the curriculum, I think, really started in a tentative way in the early 1990s, and now it's grown, and now there are, you know, many more people doing it than were doing it back then.
So because you are a partner at a law firm and also teach law students, I'm curious about your experiences with new attorneys at your firm and how those experiences might shape your approach to teaching.
Well, I'm in a very small firm. It's a bankruptcy boutique, and it's very elite. The young lawyers that we hire are exceptional young lawyers. I mean, they are Most of the partners in the firm came laterally. They didn't grow up through the firm. Now we have a few partners that grew up through the firm, but the lawyers that we hire are exceptionally well qualified. I mean, they're top students from UCLA, from Berkeley, from Stanford, from, you know, comparable institutions. So these are the very, among the very best students of that year, you know, are the ones that end up as associates at my law firm. So it's a wonderful experience working with these, you know, very talented young lawyers. But, you know, they don't know how to be lawyers yet when they just come out of law school. So, you know, you're, again, you're in a position of being, you know, a mentor and having someone who's basically an apprentice learning from you how to be a lawyer. And so some of that bleeds into classroom teaching, but it's a much more intimate experience when you're, because you're, it's one-on-one as opposed to, you know, a class of 80 or even a class of 40. So it's obviously a different relationship.
And I'm glad you mentioned mentorship, because it's something I want to get your take on, especially in light of this new world that we have with all the complications of 2020 and moving more into a virtual setting. What can legal educators do to be more effective mentors to law students?
Well, I think mentoring is a very personal thing, and it requires a, you know, a particular relationship between the mentor and the person being mentored. So it depends on those two individuals and what their personalities are and their skills. So, you know, I don't think there's one way to mentor people. I think people have to be true to themselves in terms of who they are and what, you know, what they're trying to impart to their mentee. I think that, you know, many law faculty are strongly motivated to mentor people, but they may not be particularly suited to mentor them into becoming lawyers. They may be more suited to mentoring them and doing academic work, to writing scholarly articles, to, you know, doing empirical research. And if that's their forte, and that's you know, what the student is engaged in and what their ambitions are, that's appropriate. If you're, you know, I have a much closer connection to law practice than most full-time law faculty. And so when I'm working with a student, it's a lot closer to what goes on in the law firm in terms of the relationship between the young lawyer and the senior lawyer. And I work with students often in the same mode that I work with young associates at the law firm. And they learn from me by seeing how I approach problems, by reviewing my drafts, by interacting with me. And it's a very personal relationship. So I think that there still is going to have to be an apprenticeship element to people's legal education that is probably best conducted by practicing lawyers.
So, Dan, I think we can agree that it's amazing when we find a perfect mentor-mentee pair, but I think some students and young associates don't necessarily get that lucky. So I'm kind of curious what insight or advice you might have for professors who might want to help their students get some more hands-on training, especially now when remote learning is becoming more prevalent.
Well, I mean, again, it depends on what the student's ambitions are and what the faculty member's skills are, and what, so they can involve them in projects that they're working on is one thing they can do. Student, there are lots and lots of extracurricular opportunities now that did not exist when I was a law student in terms of, I mean, yeah, we always had moot courts, but now there's a huge proliferation of moot courts and mock trials and, you know, clinics, and where you can, you know, go out and they can be live client. I actually think the best training for students is, in terms of where their comparative advantages in law school, is in the simulation style experiential education that I do and I enjoy, because you're in an academic setting, it's a hypothetical. And so the students can do things that they would never be permitted to do in a law firm setting. For example, in the seminar that I was telling you about, nobody would take a brand new lawyer and put them in charge of a major constituent in a major Chapter 11 case. I mean, that just would not happen. There would be a senior lawyer that would be making the strategic judgments and doing all the high-level work, and the role of the junior lawyer would be to be assisting that person and learning from that person, but not representing the client directly in court and not being the person making the strategic calls and conducting the negotiations with the counterparties and so forth and so on. So I can do all that in the classroom. I mean, it's all hypothetical. So in my, you know, in my simulation, when the student is representing the creditors committee, they are the partner in charge of the matter for their client. If they're representing the debtor, they're the partner in charge of the client. They have to make the judgments about whether to cut a deal with the creditors committee or to sidle up to the bank and then maybe cram down on the unsecured creditors. They have the responsibility for creating the plan and then seeing that it gets confirmed and that it meets legal standards when it's in front of the judge. And so they can make tons of mistakes, and they do invariably make tons of mistakes. And they don't know what they're doing and they're in over their heads, but it's fine because it's all hypothetical and you learn an awful lot by making mistakes. But, you know, they go to confirmation with a plan that's unconfirmable. They don't know it's unconfirmable until they walk out of court with their head handed to them by the judge. Usually I get a, like a local bankruptcy judge or one of my partners at the law firm, or I myself will sometimes be the judge. And most of the plans that they submit can't get confirmed because they're subject to legal objections. So in that sense, they have, quote, failed, close quote, but they haven't failed. They've learned a tremendous a lot. And it's a lesson you don't forget when you work very hard on a project and you try and get it confirmed in court and you walk out of there with no confirmation order because there was a legal defect. And so you have a lot more scope to, you know, push the students to their limit in the simulation environment than you do in a live client environment, even in a law firm setting where, again, the young lawyer is going to be working in a subordinate role under the supervision of the senior lawyer. So, I mean, I'm there to kind of help them all navigate this. They can come to me and say, you know, we're at an impasse with this constituency, what should we do? And I talk to them, well, you know, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And I can guide them and steer them in different ways. But ultimately, they're responsible for, you know, deciding whether it's a good deal or not, whether to cut the deal and, you know, how to structure the plan and so forth and so on. So to me, that's an opportunity that we have in law school that they don't have in law practice. That's where we have a comparative advantage because we can put them in the partner role and put them in, they can learn what it's like to be the senior lawyer on the file. And it takes years to get to that point in a law firm setting. So I think that that's what law schools should focus on.
Thanks so much for sharing those thoughts, Professor Bussell. This has really been great. I just want to thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us also. I hope you found this conversation as valuable as I did. For additional insights on this topic and so much more, please visit BloombergLaw.com.